that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we talk with Pat Macias, the board chair of the Museum of Northern California Art, MUNCA. A week from Sunday, MUNCA moves, with its extensive collection of works by many of Northern California's top artists, into its long-awaited permanent home, the beautiful Veterans Memorial Hall on Esplanade in Chico. Macias will tell us about the festivities planned for this grand opening. On today's program, we'll also take you to the Old City Hall in Reading, where Axiom Repertory Theater is presenting its current production, the funny and moving comedy drama, Marvin's Room. We'll talk with the director and with members of the cast. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
At the Orland Arts Center, Other People, Other Places. The three artists featured in this exhibit have traveled extensively, and their art reflects their responses to the places they have visited and the people they have met. Center hours, 1 to 6, Tuesday through Saturday. Chico's California Regional Theater ends its run of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Satisfy your musical sweet tooth with this production at the Chico Center for the Arts. Tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. The final performance is Sunday at 2. Tomorrow night at Chico State's Harlan Adams Theater, it's a musical celebration when Jazz Express takes the stage for an evening of performance starting at 7:30. Then Sunday afternoon at the university's Zing Recital Hall, The Quickening. This faculty recital of interwoven sound, song, and poetry, a celebration of awakening of spring, starts at 2 o'clock. The Chico Art Center presents the 13th Annual Junior High and High School Student Art Exhibit. This show, called Creative Fusion, highlights artwork from students in the greater Chico area. Art Center hours, noon to 4, Monday through Friday, and 10 to 4, Saturday and Sunday. Tomorrow, the university's Janet Turner Print Museum closes its exhibit, Know Their Name, Women Printmakers and Shoujo Manga Artists. Turner hours tomorrow, 11 to 4. 1078 Gallery in Chico presents its 2017 member show. Members of the gallery have created works on the theme of fools and foolishness. Gallery hours, 12:30 to 5:30, Tuesday through Saturday. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. Academy Award-winning actor Rod Steiger was born on today's date. We come, we go, reflected Steiger, and in between, we try to understand.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm chatting with a very happy-looking Pat Macias, board chair of MoNCA, the Museum of Northern California Art. Pat, why are you so happy today?
Since 2009, we have been working to open an art museum in Chico, and on April 23rd, we will be opening the museum. We were first introduced to this in 2009 when Maureen Kirk and Jane Dolan took Trudy Duesenberg and myself through and said, you know, you two ought to think of something to do with this building. We got a community group together and started brainstorming about what it might be.
Some listeners may not know what that building refers to.
That building is the beautiful 1927 Classical Revival Veterans Memorial Hall on the Esplanade.
It's one of the glories of the Esplanade, but there was the potential of it falling into such disrepair that it might have to be demolished.
That is very true. The other part of it was to find some use for the building that didn't impact the neighborhood and didn't make it a space that wasn't usable by the community.
It's very lovely to walk by any season and see this glorious building looking now so sparkling and so new.
It's like ants inside with all these work people just bustling around, mudding the walls. They're getting ready to paint so that we'll be open on time. Floors will be redone and terrazzo polished and cleaned. If you've been in it, I think you'll be very surprised when you come back.
This museum is more than simply a place on the Esplanade. It's very involved with outreach.
We, from the very beginning, have done educational outreach with schools. We have seen 600 students each year. We're the Museum of Northern California Art. We need to be going out beyond Chico. Museums are changing a lot. They're becoming much more interactive, less static than they were previously. It reminds me of libraries. You go into a library now and they're not quiet. People are discussing things. They're having conversations. There's kind of a nice bustle that goes on. And museums are going to be the same way. We want to be a real example of that.
What were some of the things you needed to do to make this dream possible?
More than we thought. The building belongs to the county. We have a renewable lease for the building. They will maintain the outside. We have to do all the renovation for the inside, renovating it and bringing it up to ADA code. That's a lot of expense, and thanks to the community, we're getting there. We're reaching our goal to put all the things that we wanted into it.
There's been a lot of creativity in your fundraising.
If you're not coming up with something brand new, even a new group of people that you haven't engaged before, I don't think you're going to get the same monies you would want. We've done 8 pop-up museums in a space downtown. We have done Legacy Artists, which are documentaries about Reed Applegate, the collector, and then other artists that are in the collection. We have done a Vets exhibition, which was all about the veterans. We try very hard to think outside the box.
Tell us a little bit about your background that has made you such an advocate for the importance of art.
My MA is in printmaking. I taught every grade, I think, from kindergarten through college for 38 years. My background is really arts education. I was a director of 1078 Gallery for a little while, education director at a place in St. Louis called Lohmeyer Sculpture Park. My background has all been art.
What have you personally witnessed in enrichment in people's lives from art programs?
I teach every Monday night at the tourist shelter. To me, that's a prime example of watching people who have other things on their minds than doing art. But once they sit down and they do art, they are smiling, they're talking, they're ready for me to come back the next day. That's the transformation that art has, and it has that in every school we go to. We do go to some senior centers. We'd like to get back to doing that again because I think that's a population that needs to bring some other things into their lives too.
When we were chatting before the interview, you were talking about some of the many people who have contributed to making this possible, and you wanted to have some thank yous.
We have had an amazing group of board members the entire time. We also have, we call them driving docents because they're the ones that go into the schools, into the classrooms.
When they come to a school, is there a great deal of interest among the students?
There's so little art left in the schools. It's a really special thing to have a group that for an hour, we take part of the collection in, we teach with the collection, and we have them do a project. It's very enlightening. Currently, we are working with three artists that work with line and trees and the environment. One of them was from the 1960s. She was the first computer graphics person here at the university, Grace Hartline. We have James Kuiper, who does a lot of very abstract-looking trees. And then we have Ruth Omerod, who does abstract but realistic. A little harder to describe, but for the kids to see these things, it's a very good experience.
Well, I'd like to move on to what will be seen inside of the museum during the opening to the public.
We have three exhibitions that will be up. They are all from the collection that Reed Applegate has gifted to us. One of them will be honoring women artists from the collection. That's in the room that was named for Maria Phillips. Every time I think about that, I smile because I know very well she would have loved to have had that as her first show. Claudia Steele's room will have her work in it always. And then the other two galleries, we are in the process of doing those exhibitions right now, so I really am not sure what they're going to be yet.
Give us some timing of this event that's open to the public, but that begins with a special honoring of veterans.
We have a veterans opening from 11 to 1 on Sunday, April 23rd. We have a special place in there for them. We were given a nice amount of money to build a cabinet, and that display case will always have things that the veterans would like to show. We are really grateful that they have allowed us to use this building, so we want to thank them. Then from 1 to 5, it is open to the general public so that we can show off these many, many, many years of hard work.
This will also be an occasion for your new docents to help the public.
They will be finding themselves in a brand new role. We've never had to really talk about what's hanging up, and I think this is going to be a good way for them to become closer to the work.
Pat, I'm looking at a stack of mysterious little boxes that you've brought here.
I would like to invite everybody to become a part of the history of Manka by decorating a time capsule. What we're doing is a fundraiser. We have two size boxes. What you do is you decorate the outside of them. Then on the inside, you can put anything that you would want somebody 50 years now to open up and see. So these will all go into one big time capsule after we collect all of them. They'll be probably buried up in the attic in a container because the walls have already been closed up.
Okay.
So we can't do it in the walls.
For the very few people who may not know where this museum is located, give us the address.
It's 900 Esplanade, right before you get to First, across from Chico High School.
I hope to see everyone at this glorious event, which is going to open our new Museum of Northern California Art. Thank you.
The Museum of Northern California Art, Manka, moves into its permanent home. That's the Veterans Memorial Hall on Esplanade in Chico, a week from Sunday. And you can be part of Manka history by putting artifacts of your choice into your own time capsule box. Purchase the empty box as a fundraiser for the museum. Go online to manka.org/events. And that will take you to a list of businesses in the Chico area where you can get your empty time capsule box. Then you can take your filled up box to the Manka grand opening on April 23rd. It will be tucked away in Manka's new home. And then 50 years from this month, all the time capsule boxes will be opened. Now let's hear from Kelly, our Reading correspondent. Earlier this week, he went to Old City Hall, where they were getting ready for the production that opened last night, the comedy drama Marvin's Room.
I'm Kelly Frost talking to the director, Lisa Collins, of Marvin's Room at the Old City Hall, put on by Axiom Repertory Theater. First of all, can you give me a little synopsis of what the play is about?
Marvin's Room is about a family, two sisters. One is taking care of the elderly father and aunt in Florida. She finds out she has leukemia. Her sister lives in Ohio with her rebellious teenage boy, Hank, and younger son, Charlie. And the sisters haven't seen each other for 20 years. They were estranged. The call comes to the Ohio family that they might be bone marrow matches. So they come to Florida. Hilarity, pathos, and everything in between ensues when the sisters meet again and have to reconcile and work things out. The play is called Marvin's Room, but you never see Marvin. Marvin is the father, the aging father. You see his room, the wall to his room, but you never see him. And yet you learn so much about Marvin through the other characters. All their lives are swirling around him, but you never see him.
How do you think the actors in the play deal with having the play about someone that they don't really have any interaction with?
There are scenes with Marvin. You hear his voice. Keith Rose actually plays Marvin. Some people actually stage the play with Marvin's feet sticking out of the room. We don't do that. We just, you know, you hear his voice back there. So there is interaction, and Keith is always there being Marvin when you hear his voice, when you hear him laughing or groaning or whatever. But of course, the actors have to build in their work that they do as they prepare for the role. They have to have built a life with Marvin. If you're one of the daughters, the things that he did, took care of you when you were little and he was caring for you, or if you're his sister, Elsie Ritchie plays his sister Ruth. She's got a whole interesting past that she's built up around it, and you never see it on stage, but you see it in the way the actors talk about Marvin. They're not just spewing lines. There's a whole lifetime behind what they say. There's so much humor in this play, even though the subject matter is serious. There's so much humor. Don Tamblyn, who's an actor who's worked for decades, you'll see him occasionally here. He also works in the Bay Area. He plays Dr. Wally, who's this short-term memory loss doctor you see in the first couple of scenes, and he really helps set the tone to let the audience know it's okay to laugh. As we all know, we're all dysfunctional, and we will laugh at the most inappropriate times just because that's how human beings deal with tragedy.
My name's Don Tamblyn, and I play Dr. Wally.
Tell me a little bit about Dr. Wally.
Well, he's a replacement physician for the doctor who usually works in this office. He's filling in for the doctor while he's on vacation.
I just enjoyed the scene I was watching. I like that there was humor in it, but it was also kind of an intense scene because she may have leukemia, and it sounds like the doctor didn't really want to tell her that.
Yeah, he was trying to find out before he actually told her what he was actually dealing with. He didn't want to panic her and make her worry.
Tell me about this production of Marvin's Room. It sounds like there's a lot of different interesting characters in it.
Yeah, I guess there are. We got the two sisters, the two brothers, and myself, and a couple other incidental characters. It's kind of a family dramedy, I guess you'd call it.
My name is Jonathan Stutz, and I play Hank, the 17-year-old disturbed arsonist of the show. He's been committed to a mental institution for burning his family's house down, has only just gotten out so that they can do a bone marrow transplant test to see if he's compatible to possibly save his aunt's life.
How's that playing somebody that's, shall we say, maybe not really all there?
Well, it's not so much that Hank is not all there, but that everyone perceives him that way. And, you know, when people start thinking of you a certain way, I have a line that I say, people start thinking of you a certain way, pretty soon you're that way. Hank, you know, he does play up the stereotype because at this point now, that's all he knows. But certain characters start showing him more affection and love, and towards the end of the play, he definitely starts to respond more to that. So it's more like he's normal, but not in a normal situation.
Sounds like one of those characters the audience might be not sure what they think about, but towards the end, maybe they really come to like this character?
Yeah, well, I mean, I certainly hope so. Definitely at the beginning, you're not entirely sure what he's thinking or what he's going to do. And then towards the end of the play, he does begin to soften up and you can begin to relate more with him.
Tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, have you done any other productions?
I've only started doing theater since 2015. This is my first straight drama where it's just acting, and that's pretty intense. So this is my first real big lead.
I know you said your character is supposed to be 17 years old. Can I ask you how old you are?
I'm 20.
Did you do any high school productions or anything like that?
No, I did not. I started doing voice lessons for singing about 4 years ago, and that was my, like, the gateway to performing on stage. Before then, I hadn't really had any aspirations to do theater.
Are you looking forward to this?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep, yeah, we've been working really hard on it, and I'm really looking forward to our work paying off.
My name is Hayden Kay. I am currently 11 years old, and I go to Reading School of the Arts.
What's the character that you're playing in this play?
Charlie, a young boy with a brother that has been in the mental asylum because he has burned down his family's house.
Can you tell me what that's like to play someone like that?
It's actually kind of depressing to me to play that character. It's kind of like a toll on me because I don't have that much like sadness in my life.
Are you enjoying doing it though?
Yes, I love the role. This is my 9th show in Reading, and I started when I was in 3rd grade.
Sounds like you've done a lot. Do you want to make a career out of it?
Yes, I actually would like to move down to like LA or New York when I'm older.
I'm Elsie Ritchie, and I play Aunt Ruth.
It looks like Aunt Ruth is injured here.
Well, Aunt Ruth spent most of her life in bed because she had collapsed vertebrae in her back. And then in recent years, she received an electronic anesthetizer with this little piece of prop here. Whenever I have an injury to my back, I have to dial it in. And the consequence, though, is that the garage door opens at the same time as this electronic anesthetizer supposedly goes on. Very humorous.
It sounds like you're having fun doing it.
You know, it's wonderful to be in this great play with an amazing cast of just the best people. It is a dark comedy that has a lot of poignancy to it, but there's a lot of humor, too. So that sort of balances between the two things. But I think the most powerful thing is the themes of the power of love, Bessie's ability to completely give herself over to other people, and the love that she has given has changed her, and it changes everyone else. It's a deeply moving play, but very, very funny. And Aunt Ruth is part of, hopefully, the humor in it. But she's a real character, too. And apparently the playwright had experience of taking care of ailing relatives in Florida. And so he's building in some of his own autobiography to it.
It sounds like you are enjoying working with your other cast members.
Yes, it's a delightful group, from the youngest at 11 to me as the most ancient. And everyone's very accepting and very, very professional attitudes and incredible work ethics and just a joy to work with.
My name is Brandon Nascimento, and I play a couple of actual character bits in this play. I'm Charlotte, the psychiatrist, and I'm the director of an old folks home, and I get to play a gopher cartoon character in an amusement park.
Three different characters. How do you prepare for that?
Actually, you just go and do it. They're fun parts. This is the first performance with Axiom that I've gotten to do, and it's the first character bits I've gotten to do in quite a while. So I'm pretty excited about it.
Well, my name is Erin Sullivan, and I play Lee, the youngest sister of Bessie. She is very defensive. She's very short. She can be kind of rude. I feel because she has so much damage that has happened to her in her life is the reason why she's so defensive. But she softens up in the end and finds love in people and situations, which makes her a little bit brighter.
I am Jocelyn Carter, and I'm playing the role of Bessie. Bessie is the oldest sister. She's typically the more responsible one, taking care of her ailing father.
Would that be Marvin?
Correct. That is Marvin.
Mm-hmm. So tell me about Marvin, because apparently, from what I understand, you never see Marvin during the play. How do you make a character that's taken care of someone that the audience never sees?
Well, they establish it's been many years that she has been taking care of him, and so they reference his room a lot, and she does interact with someone within the room, so you do hear him. We do have an actor actually playing Marvin. As far as making it convincing that it's important, it's clear that he's had health problems, so he's bedridden. It's not important that you see him because the family revolves around him.
Tell me about yourself. What other productions have you done, and how are you enjoying working with Axiom?
I absolutely love working with Axiom. This is my first time. I love working with Lisa Collins, and this cast has just been fabulous. It's been great to get to know everybody in the cast, and they're very talented, so it's a challenge to rise to that.
You can see the comedy drama Marvin's Room at Reading's Old City Hall tonight at 7:30 or tomorrow night at 7:30. And the production continues weekends through the end of the month. And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it any day or time after 3:30 Friday online at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio.